History. One of the most fragile and treasured things in any pony society. It is always written by the victors, and the ones who lose the battle are often erased from time to keep their ex hidden away. I was once a victor. Once. But being a victor doesn't reserve your place in history. It just gives you the ability to write the books. The ones who died for victory. The brave ponies that were the fighting force of the war or the event. They are the ones who are erased. Their souls are restless through time, wishing that what they did was appreciated, hoping that some pony would come along and remember them in their sacrifices. I am one of those ponies. You may not know who I am, but regardless, I know who you are. I have seen you, as well as many other ponies over the centuries, walk this land and pass from it. I am nothing but stone. At least, that is what every pony else sees me as. I watch as your warm, life-filled bodies walk the earth mortally, wishing that I could be just like you. Wishing to be loved, to be mortal once again. To be mortal would give me the life that I'd always wanted, and the ability to die. The cold is a constant reminder of my stony imprisonment, biting at my outer shell, freezing my soul trapped inside. I have lived for what seems like centuries, maybe even 1,000 years. But time is not something I've ever been fond of. It always slows down when I pay attention to it, and when I wanted a moment of it to last forever, it's gone in an instant, leaving the moment burned in my mind, but the feeling gone forever. Sometimes, well, it's more like all of the time, I just sit here and watch as you walk along happily, without a care in the world. Some of you carrying books, and others just walking along with some pony they love. Sometimes, some of you even take the chance to stop and stare at me, watching me intently as if I was going to move. Some even questioned why I was here. And that was something I wished I knew for myself. Why I'm here. The everlasting question of time. Why are we all here in this world? Every pony had to have some significant purpose, even if it's just standing still for centuries as I do. It's not those who decide to stop that bother me, however. It's those that wish that they could have what I have. Those ponies, who want to have the immortality of my soul, don't know how hard it is to watch those around them wither away and die. They don't know how old your soul becomes. How much your soul will want to wither and die just like every pony else. You want your loved ones to be as you are, trapped inside immortality, but reason says otherwise. Those that you have loved, those that you will love, will all fade in the endless space of time, eventually wiped from your mind. I faintly remember loving some pony once. I remember the feeling, the joy in my mind, and the warmth that spread throughout my body. I remember her. But who she was, I don't recall. I know that they will always be with me in my heart, and I know that they passed many years ago, while I've been trapped here. I think that they loved me back. At least, I hope that they did.
Daddy!
A faint filly's voice rang through my mind.
Daddy, come here!
I was a father. I had left some child to fend for itself in this world, taking away something that it may have held dear. If it did hold me dear, that is. I have no recollection of having a child, or even knowing the voice that called out to me. But it touched my heart, and the warmth coursed through my body like a forest fire. I could feel myself starting to wallow in my own sadness. Something that shouldn't have to happen to any pony. Through my many years, I have seen many bright, young souls lose track of their lives just because they felt sorry for themselves and fell deeper into their own depression. That'd not be something I'd let happen to me. I just couldn't. No matter how much I wanted to feel sorry for myself, it was a sign of weakness. And I, the great... My name. What was my name? I hadn't taken much thought into my name in the past 100 years or so, that I'd actually forgotten who I was. Was I some pony who destroyed the land, And was that why I was stuck in stone? I don't think that any pony in history, or as long as I can remember, was put into the form of a statue to willingly serve as his or her own tribute. That idea is just a harrowing thought. I had to have done something in my past that have caused me to become this statue. And most ponies never even gave me a look. Does that mean I'm bad? I never wanted to be bad. Or at least that's the way I feel now. Only if I could tell some pony, any pony, that I was not who I used to be. Whoever that was. The sun was striking my flank. I could feel the warmth being concentrated there, and the sun would soon drop over the horizon. The moon was soon to rise from the other end of the sky as well. The moon and the sun. Why did they seem so familiar to me? Of course they would. I see them every day and night, but I felt a deeper connection, for some odd reason. It was almost as if it was me who had raised the sun and moon each day. I decided that I would let my mind drift. That was what consisted of my normal days, so to speak, and it was never filled with anything usually other than a blank thought. Just pure black. My mind has gotten vastly darker since I last remember. Whenever that was. I had no memories anymore. And anything that I've ever tried to remember always becomes lost in the sands of time.
Daddy!
The young filly called out once again.
No! Daddy! Come see me first!
Another young filly called out, but this time it was different. The voices that I were hearing weren't chunks of my dissipated memories. It had almost seemed real, and the voices seemed to be coming from behind me. I tried turning my head, and to my amazement, I was actually moving. My muscles were real. The grass and the air were actually real. The sky was a beautiful ocean blue. Some patches of the clouds were slowly being cleared by tiny points on the horizon. I could have sworn that it was other ponies, but it wasn't very likely that any pony would have wings. That's when it hit me. I was back in the old castle courtyard. Flowers of all colors and kinds were in bloom, the sweet scent of their buds flowing with the gentle cooling wind that passed through my mane and wings. I have wings? When did I get wings? That's impossible. I don't even remember being able to fly. I calmed myself as I realized I was overreacting to this dream, memory, or whatever it was. This had to be something from my past. That had to be the only explanation. I shook my head once to clear my mind and get back to the situation at hand. I saw a multicolored mane out of the corner of my eye, which seemed to have a slight sparkle to it. I turned my head, yet again, to see two fillies wrestling in the grass. One had the most beautiful white coat. It was as if she were covered in a cloud. The other had a darker coat, and could easily be lost in the black of the night. I just wanted to run over and grab the two, and hold them forever. That way I wouldn't have to lose them again. There was something strange about these two, and I couldn't place my hoof on it. I knew that they were sisters, but it wasn't that. There was something else. They had wings. And horns. They were alicorns. My little fillies were alicorns. I felt my heart sink again, as all that I could come to call them were fillies. I didn't even know my own daughter's names. What kind of father am I that I can't remember my own daughter's names? Another realization that came from staring at the young fillies was that they were wrestling to show me who was stronger. It was as if they were in an infinite stalemate. The young fillies were alicorns, so that meant I was an alicorn too, right? And that meant that my wife was one too. That was the only possibility for there to be any pony like them. I slowly raised my hoof to touch where my horn should be, and sure enough, there was one resting right on my forehead. I heard a faint clopping of hooves on stone behind me, and the voice of an angel echoed.
Honey, is your horn bothering you again?
I turned around to view who this lovely voice belonged to. All that I saw was white. Pure white. Snow. I tried to move, hoping that I can join them in that dream once again. It was almost as if I had shared it with someone else. It felt like there were two souls living in that memory with me. enjoying what it had once been. I didn't know how long I'd slept. But living in stone makes any amount of time seem minuscule in comparison to how long you seem to be awake. All I'd known was that in that moment was that it had snowed, and I was knee-deep in it. I was standing in a rather awkward position for a statue. I was somewhat knelt down, as if I were waiting for something to hit me. As if something was coming for me, and my horn was the only defense I had left. My horn. I couldn't reach up to feel if it was there or not, but I knew it was gone. It had been snapped clean off from the base. And I knew that meant that I was nothing more than a Pegasus in my current state. A memory came back to me. I remembered that if a horn is snapped off of any magical creature, then it loses its magic forever. It didn't make any sense. Why would I be pointing my horn at some creature? It was then that I felt a sort of scraping, but a gentle one. It was as if some pony were actually taking the time to gently brush the snow off of me. No pony had ever been generous enough to do that for me before. I'd always been forced to wait out the winter and let the snow melt away as it pleased. The last thing that this pony, or whoever was clearing the snow for me, did was clear it from my eyes. There were ponies everywhere, sitting calmly and quietly, as if they were waiting for some pony else to speak. They were staring at me, it seemed. But I knew better than that. There must be some pony behind me. I tried to scream for help, to alert them somehow. But no sound came from my mouth. There was nothing I could do but watch. I felt two figures brush up against my flank and slowly proceed to come to my size, just out of my line of sight. One of them began to speak in a rather loud tone that seemed to echo a royal speaking voice. How I remembered that, I don't know.
"Citizens of Camelot and Equestria,"
the voice began. It reminded me of the small, night-colored filly from my memory. The voice seemed to match it, just amplified 100 times.
"Luna,"
the other voice called.
"I think that I should talk for this ceremony."
I couldn't see a thing on either side of me. Only the large crowd of ponies assembled in front of me were visible. Once she started again, it was evident that the other pony had approved of what she'd said.
"This day, we've come here to celebrate the 1,000th anniversary of the pony who had saved me and my sister's life as young fillies. The pony who was courageous enough to take on a hydra himself, to protect 2 small fillies, putting his own well-being on the line."
The voice paused, her voice hinting at sadness.
"He sacrificed his magic, something that every one of us hold dear, to save us. He used his horn, after vigorously fighting, to put the creature to an end. But he was also putting an end to himself. His horn snapped from his head, and the vast amount of magic flowing from his body turned him instantly into stone. Today, we remember him."
The two figures rested their heads on mine, their manes barely visible out of the corner of my eyes. One was the color of night, and the other was as white as the clouds themselves. The ponies of the audience all raised their hooves and stomped to the bravery I had once enacted, something that I would most likely never remember. The two ponies at my side, which I assumed were my daughters, rose. The ponies in front of me moved from where they had been as they stopped stomping and walked in front of me, each dropping a bouquet of flowers at my feet, and muttering a thank you. Some even had tears dripping from their lively eyes. As the crowd dissipated, the 2 alicorns appeared in front of me, tears flowing from their eyes. They stood directly in my line of sight, making sure I knew of their presence before the white one spoke.
"You may not remember us, but we remember you, and that is what matters right now. We know that you are struggling to stay alive in there. But bear with us. We have been trying to free you for the longest time. And we do thank you for what you did to save us back then."
2 alicorns reached forward, their front legs extending around my neck, holding me in a firm grip. They'd started to cry a vast amount, and I could feel their tears running down my stone back as they both spoke in unison.
I love you, Daddy.
A tear formed in the corner of my eye, rolling off of my face and falling to the snow below.